Blog Talk Radio.
Once a man is glad, you smoke like your grandmother.
To undertake the down, and there's no end in view. A shot of fireball, one reason turned to screw. And 40 hours of steel and silver and the actual brew. I'm so bored of doing nothing, but I have nothing to do. So pour us up the boiler, make her back around, is there anything to pour us up the boiler, make her time to knock the back.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, Sign Guy and QT with you as usual here on another Sunday afternoon. Hope everyone is staying safe still. And we want to bring our guest on right away, get this thing started. We are joined by wrestling's greatest attraction, Chris Brady. Chris, welcome to the program. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, since it is your first time here, we're going to give you the first-timer question. What got you into the business of professional wrestling?
So I grew up watching it as multiple other performers. You know, 4 years old, watching the Attitude Era, watching guys like D'Lo Brown, The Godfather, Val Venus, man. All of it was just so entertaining to me. And as I grew older, I started to watch it a lot more, like, religiously. Like, ever since I was 4 years old, I probably watched it every night. I haven't missed an episode yet.
Now, getting into pro wrestling, did you have a background that was going to help you out in that? Like, be it amateur wrestling, be it other athletics, maybe a dramatic background, anything like that?
I did wrestling when I was in middle school and high school, so I did it every year. So I definitely put that into my repertoire as well. No drama, though. No acting, none of that.
Oh, you're still fairly young in your career. Pro wrestling has seen a lot more schools open up in the last few years, and it's easier to find those schools than in previous generations where wrestling was a little more closed off. How did you go about finding a wrestling school for yourself, and did you do a lot of investigating in other wrestling schools before deciding on the one you chose?
So I've been in wrestling. I just passed my two-year mark a couple weeks ago. I was in the military at the time, and I always knew I wanted to do wrestling, but I also wanted to stay close to the Pacific Northwest because I had one of my kids here. So I started looking up schools out here. I looked up DOA, and then I looked up one in California, Knott's Pro, which is run by Rikishi. And I drove all the way to Los Angeles. I looked at the housing market, but I knew it was a little too expensive, being that I have kids and a wife to think about as well. So I came back to Washington. I started Googling a lot more. So I was going to the military at the time. And I ended up coming across Tim Bode and Jake the Snake out in Vegas. And I went out there. I moved my family out there. And we just got a fresh start. And I love that school. It's a great school to be at. So.
Well, since you've been up here in the Pacific Northwest wrestling in the last several months, you've competed for combat pro wrestling and for blue collar wrestling. It's a little bit of a different animal here in the Northwest as far as pro wrestling than in other places. Every area's got its own kind of unique situation as far as pro wrestling. How's the transition been for you wrestling here in the Northwest?
Transition actually has been fairly easy. So when I was wrestling in Vegas, I was away from most of my family. So it was a lot harder on me being so young and so close to my family. So I moved back to Washington. I met Yvonne Siever from Combat Pro Wrestling. She gave me an opportunity, which a lot of the promotions out here didn't at the time, which is understandable. And she gave me an opportunity to come out and perform. I came out. I did good. So, I mean, I did good. Now I'm the Cruiserweight Champion. It led me to get to blue collar wrestling, and man, I'm having a blast. I'm doing a lot more out here than I was doing in Las Vegas area, for sure. But I'm having a blast in the Northwest, man.
You took almost no time at all to become a champion once you arrived on the scene. You were very, very quickly the CPW Cruiserweight Champion. What was going through your mind when you defeated Paul Preston to get that title in such a short span of time?
Man, that was emotional for me, man. Growing up making, you know, titles out of paper or cardboard and being able to finally hold one, I had so many emotions going through my mind after I beat Preston. It was just joy. Knowing that I finally did something that I set out to achieve ever since I was a young kid, meant the world to me, man. And to do it in such quick fashion just goes to show you why I'm wrestling the greatest attraction.
No, most definitely. Now, in your first ever blue-collar wrestling match in Portland, you were in the main event. That is something that doesn't happen to a lot of people that haven't come in from being on national television. Just your standard independent normally doesn't main event right away at BCW. You were able to pull that off. What do you attribute being able to main event your first show?
Hard work and dedication. Getting those opportunities, like you said, is rare, but at the same time, when you put in the hard work, you keep your mind focused, and you have goals you achieve, and you make those happen. So it definitely goes to the test that anything, man, as long as you put in the hard work, you always get to where you need to be. And that was a fun one, man. I love more than just exciting, amazing talent. So, I mean, I'm definitely able to run that a few more times, and it's definitely overwhelming.
Now, from everything I've seen out of you, and I've seen quite a bit of your work up here in the Northwest, you have a very quick pace style, a very high-flying type of athletic style, a similar style to what you have is something that a lot of the Lucha Libre trained wrestlers implement. Were you a fan of the Lucha Libre style of wrestling?
So, I didn't watch a lot of like AAA and all that, but growing up, I was definitely tuning into what Rey Mysterio was doing, what Juventud was doing, Psicosis, Super Crazy. So, a lot of those guys, being a Latino community like myself, as well as being on the smaller side of the scale, growing up, obviously I'm not tall, I'm 5'6". So being able to see them do what they can do, man, it definitely changed my mind on the game, man. I love luchadors, I love lucha, anything about it, man, I'm definitely invested in, so it's fun.
On a lot of wrestlers' list of goals to accomplish is wrestling in Japan. It's become easier in the last few years for independent wrestlers to get bookings in Japan than it ever has been. Is Japan one of your bucket list goals to go there to be able to wrestle?
So, yes and no. If the opportunity presents itself, I'm definitely not going to say no, but at the same time, it's like, so far away from my family at this time and this young in the game. So definitely a bucket list for the future for sure. But as of right now, I'm content on where I'm at.
That makes perfect sense.
I mean, hey, if the opportunity is there, I'm definitely taking it.
No, for sure, for sure. And like I said, it's easier now, so you never know when the opportunity might pop up for you. Now, one of the things that is a very popular style of wrestling that I've not seen out of you is the deathmatch wrestling type of style. We see a lot of people in this day and age very much against deathmatch wrestling just because of the injuries that happen and because a lot of people don't think there's a place for blood in professional wrestling in 2020. A lot of people are big fans of that type of wrestling, and you can still find promotions that are nothing but deathmatch wrestling. What's your own personal stance on that style of wrestling and on blood in wrestling as it relates to 2020?
I don't think blood is needed every match. It definitely enhances the storyline, in my perspective, depending on the situation. But at the same time, it's always been on my bucket list to do a death match. I'd love to do one. I think they're entertaining. But at the same time, it's just, it's insane, man. You haven't seen these matches years and years and years ago. So, I mean, I like it. I do one. But at the same time, I don't think blood is necessary in every single match.
If it helps you out, IWA Mid-South opens up next month.
That plays on my bucket list too.
Now, for someone like you, that you're a little bit smaller than a lot of the competitors, obviously, cruiserweight champion, and usually that means that you're going to have to be quicker than a lot of guys. You're going to have to be more agile, and in professional wrestling, that equates to having really good cardio to be able to be faster for a longer period of time. What's your current cardio regimen like right now?
So since quarantine, I haven't been doing much. But usually it's a two-mile run every morning. Lots of squats. Often cardio exercise on my end. So.
Now, in a similar vein to that, a wrestler's diet can be very important. They have to be able to maintain strength, so they need a lot of protein. Too much carbs can slow them down. Some people are very, very, very strict with the diet. Others are very lax with the diet, as long as they do weights and cardio. What's your diet like in normal times?
I don't have a set diet by any means, but like as long as I'm eating healthy food, that's pretty much good for me. I eat lots of fruit, lots of vegetables, lots of salads, steaks and chicken, but I don't have like a set diet where I'm eating them every certain amount of hours, if that makes sense.
So you're not the type that says it's been 45 minutes, I need to have a steak this second?
No, definitely not.
I'm sure you've seen a lot of wrestlers with a lot of varying diets. What's the strangest diet that you've heard a wrestler using?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I haven't really talked to anybody about diets, but Braun Strowman's diet's pretty intense. I don't know if I can eat as much protein as he does. But any other diets, I mean, like I said, I don't really talk to people about what they're eating and what they're drinking on a daily basis. So that's a tough one for me, man.
Now, at one point here in the Northwest, there was a brief fad going around where wrestlers would drink a post-match tea as an antioxidant to kind of cleanse the system. Have you ever done the post-match tea?
I have not. That sounds interesting.
It was a thing for a while. Guys would drink a bottle of tea after a match to try to kind of cleanse because tea is a good antioxidant.
Something I did not know.
We're educational here on Turnbuckle Turmoil.
Definitely did you need something.
Well, we have hit the point in the show where we have a game we like to play. It's just a little psychological game we call Word Association. I'll throw out the names of some people that you have come across and the first word or two that pops into your head to describe them as the answer? Are you prepared for some word association?
I'll go.
All right, first name, Bad Blood.
Intense.
Kevin Brandt.
Awesome.
Sunny Days.
You said Sunny Days?
Sunny Days.
Sunny Days.
Tex Thompson.
Still going out there at his age. It's amazing.
Coach Steele.
First opponent.
Big V.
Huge.
Referee Jakari Guy.
Great ref.
Patty Dietz.
Amazing woman.
Paul Preston.
Athlete.
Petrov.
Oh, man, you guys are putting me on the spot right now. I'm not good with names.
All right. How about the last name here? It says CPW grappling champ John Rodriguez.
Future opponent?
Very good. Now, speaking of the grappling tournament and grappling championship, that's a very unique division. CPW has had that since its beginning. It's different than any other division really in the Pacific Northwest. What are your feelings on the grappling division?
Definitely something I want to get into. Growing up doing wrestling, man, I think I'd have a good shot at taking that title.
I don't see why not. With an amateur background, that's going to give you an edge over a lot of the guys in it.
Definitely. So, I mean, if they were to put me in the division, man, I'd thrive off it. I'd have some fun there.
Now, another person that is very known to have that grappling championship around his waist is one-third owner of CPW, Jeff. Have you had your eyes on Jeff at all? Because at CPW, you tend to either be Team Yvonne, Team Jeff, or Team Seds. Have you been keeping track of Jeff so you can make up your mind which team you're going to ally with?
I've been keeping a very close eye on Jeff. We talk a lot, so he's definitely someone I've been watching. I don't know what my decision is going to be yet, but hopefully in the future, maybe somebody can persuade me. So we'll see how that one goes.
Some people might underestimate Jeff, since he's not really a full-time active pro wrestler. He sticks to the grappling division when he does get in the ring himself. But he has held that title multiple times, and he has people willing to do what it takes to help him win when he needs it. And when you got someone like that, and he's also the boss, do you think he might be one of the more dangerous people in the Pacific Northwest?
Definitely. He has all the power. So he's definitely somebody you should definitely be watching. Yeah. So.
Now, in the Northwest at this point in time, especially places that you wrestle, we've seen a fair number of managers in recent times. Managers are kind of a dying breed on the national level, but on the independent scene, we still have quite a few good ones. You have guys like Paul Freakshine, the Managing Freak, Kevin Brandt, Douglas Rockefeller, all very good managers. Have you ever considered taking a manager?
I have not ever considered taking a manager. I like to do things my own way, if that makes sense. I don't feel like I need somebody in my corner to help me out or potentially cost me something. So I've definitely not thought about taking on a manager.
Now, guys like Douglas Rockefeller tend to have some pretty deep pockets, and they've been known to offer guys very large signing bonuses. If they were to offer you a large signing bonus, would you put aside the pride and hire the manager, or is that something you would still decide you didn't want to take because you would rather be on your own?
Hey, if the money's right, man. Like I said, I got a family to think about. So, I mean, if the price was right, they came at me with a good offer, I definitely join that team.
Now, I'm sure Douglas Rockefeller's listening to this right now, so don't be surprised if you see an envelope slide underneath your door with some cash in it. Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by. I'm sure QT has questions, so I'm going to pass things over to him.
Well, thank you, Sonny Guy. Hello, Chris.
What is going on, QT?
Hey, welcome to our program that's going on 10 and a half years. One of the
longest-running
programs on the West Coast. Yes. Okay. Well, Chris, I saw your YouTube video entitled 2020, January 19th, Just Exciting versus Chris Brady, Blue Collar Wrestling. Was this your first match with Just Exciting?
Yeah, that was the first time we played.
Oh, okay. Now, did you scout video before the match of Just Exciting video?
I searched them on YouTube, kind of see who I was going to feel for, who I was going to go against, but I wasn't, you know, I wasn't watching tons of videos on him. I was going to definitely go to that match with my eyes open and ready for a fight, so.
Okay, all right. Have you wrestled since this January 19th match due to the COVID-19 pandemic?
I have. I have wrestled. I wrestled JB in a number one contender match, and then that was the final week right before they shut everything down. It became as big as it was, so I wrestled a couple more times after that. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, Chris, at the 48-second mark of this video, with Just Exciting, right before the match, you grabbed the top rope. And this was 48 seconds, and you did a 180-degree flip over the top rope. My question is, did you first perform this at the Dr. Cleaver Academy, and did you indeed go to the Dr. Cleaver Academy?
I did not perform that when I first went to the Dr. Cleaver Academy. I did go there when I was 17, 18, and I did go there. But being that it was 3 hours away, and the Army actually called me in, so I was done. I had to obviously quit and not go to BOA, but I definitely did attend that academy.
Okay. All right. Well, Chris, this was a non-title matchup. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil audience what title Just Exciting was holding at the time of your match?
Talk about the January 19th match, right?
Yes.
Can you repeat the question? Sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing.
What was the title that Just Exciting was holding at the time of your match? He had a big belt with him. Can you hear me now? Yep, sign. I think we're having technical difficulties.
Oh. Chris, you with us?
Yeah, you guys there?
Yep, we're here.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
all right,
Chris,
cool.
Sorry.
Okay,
about
I can hear you.
What belt was just exciting holding at the time of your match? It was a non-title matchup.
The BCW Worldwide title.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Chris, in addition to holding that belt, he was wearing a weight belt into the match, and he wore it throughout the match. Did you complain to anyone about this belt, or do you think it had foreign objects behind it, his weight belt?
You know, I never complained about it, but I never was really paying attention to it. I don't think there'd be foreign weapons in it or nothing like that. There's no reason to complain about it.
Had an announced weight of 165 pounds for the match. I myself am a video analysis expert, and during the 10 and a half years on the show, I have approximately a record of 58 correct analysis, 3 non-correct weight analysis, and 2 draws of guessing a person's height and weight. The height has to be within 2 inches or less, and the weight has to be within 15 pounds. At this time, can I go ahead now and take a guess at your height and weight?
Yeah, of course.
All right. I'm going to guess you are 5'9" 1/4" and 170 pounds.
I'm definitely not 5'9". You got that. I'm 170 pounds. I'm 5'6".
Oh, no. Oh, 5'6"?
Yes, sir.
Oh, boy. All right. I was exactly on the weight. However, I was way off on the height, so I guess this is my 4th loss. Oh, no. Okay. All right. Well, Chris, if you freeze the video at the 4-minute and 24-second mark, as Sign Guy is keeping a wary eye on Mr. Sighting, you have your back turned toward the camera, and you can see a tattoo. What is this tattoo on your right upper back and right arm?
So it's my last name. So I have my last name tattooed on top of my back, and then I have a tattoo of Chucky and the Toy Story cat, like Woody and Buzz and all that on my back.
Wow, very interesting. Okay, all right. All right. Okay, well, Chris, at the 4:37 mark of the match, you can see Mr. Rockefeller giving Just Exciting some advice, and the announcer for the match, or one of them, said to the other, "I can see Mr. Rockefeller giving Just Exciting some financial advice, but not wrestling advice." My question is, has Mr. Rockefeller ever approached you and offered you money to make some of his BCW problems go away?
No, Mr. Rockefeller has never approached me, not one single time.
Oh, okay. Now, do
not
you think
one.
The announcer may have been biased and that Mr. Rockefeller could offer some good wrestling advice?
Yeah, he's out there for every single match. So I definitely think he has a little bit of knowledge up in his head. So he'd definitely be someone I listen to for advice. Depending on if I use it or not, that's going to be debatable, but I would definitely be all ears.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Chris, has Mr. Rockefeller ever told you that his favorite movie was the one called Trading Places with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd? Has he ever told you that?
No, sir, he has not.
Oh, okay. Well, you can see the relevance of that question because it did have to deal with money. Yes. All right.
I've never seen the movie.
Oh, you haven't?
No,
oh, it's
sir.
A good one.
I'll never have to check it out.
Yes, you'll have to check some of that out on YouTube, Trading Places. Okay.
Definitely.
It's just It's just I can see that being one of Mr. Rockefeller's favorite for some reason. Okay. Okay. Well, Chris, at the 10-minute and 45-second mark, Justex had you in a rear chokehold, but you reversed this and hit a power bomb on him. My question is, to lift Justex off the mat like this, do you do a lot of squat work in powerlifting as part of your training?
I definitely do a lot of squats, about 150, 200 a day. So that's definitely helpful with lifting people. A lot of deadlift, a lot of squat.
Okay.
Definitely.
Well, Chris, Tony Mandarich was the number one pick in 1989 for the Green Bay Packers. He was an offensive tackle, 6'6", 315 pounds. In one photo in Sports Illustrated, you can see him squatting with four big plates on each side of the bar, plus a smaller plate. So this is over 400 pounds. My question is, what is your heaviest squat, and did you seek Buddy Highway's advice, the Gresham Savior?
My highest squat is 275. That's my highest as of now. But I don't know anything about the 1989 Packers. So that's a hard one.
Oh, okay. Well, you can do a Google search and just plug in Tony Mandarich, 1989, and you can see photos of this number one draft pick that didn't quite work out so well for the Green Bay Packers. You can do this. Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm doing that right
All
now.
Right.
Okay.
Well, Chris, were you stationed at Fort Benning in the Army?
I was not. I was stationed here in Washington at Fort Lewis, and then I was stationed at Fort Leavenworth in Kansas.
Oh, Fort Leavenworth. Okay. Okay. Do you believe that the lessons you learned in boot camp helped you at Dr. Cleaver's Academy?
I went to DOA before I was in the Army.
Oh, you went to DOA. Okay, great. Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, Chris, do you have any T-shirts that say on them, wrestling's greatest attraction?
Yes, you can find them on prowrestlingtees.com/wrestling's greatest attraction. I do have a shirt up there currently right now that has the Wrestling's Greatest Attraction logo on it.
Okay. All right. Well, Chris, were you a big fan of wrestling announcer Howard Finkel, who passed away recently at the age of 69?
That is sad loss. I was definitely a huge fan of him. He always made the match feel that much more bigger when he was announcing the guys coming down. So definitely a terrible loss for the wrestling community.
Okay. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, Chris, have you gone on YouTube and looked at Sherwood Schwartz's Emmy-winning sitcom, The Brady Bunch?
I used to watch that all the time.
Do you remember
up,
the episode?
Was my voicemail.
Oh, it, yes.
My mom would put on, thank you for calling The Brady Bunch.
Do you remember the episode where the oldest daughter, Marcia, was hit in the nose with a football?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I remember her running inside, gripping her nose with both hands.
Yes. Well, if you had to put on a community play where you could take the role of Jan, who would be the Northwest wrestler that you yourself would pick to play the role of Marcia and hit in the nose with a football? Who would you pick?
That is hilarious. I think JB Moonshine.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, Chris. But JB Moonshine has recently joined our Turnbuckle Turmoil staff team, announcing team here on the radio show. And if he got hit in the head, the nose with a football, be able to ask questions very well. I'm sorry, JB Moonshine can't have his voice affected in any way. Can you pick another wrestler?
I'm just trying to think of people that'd be entertaining. Is Marcia?
Oh, well, how about Pa Moonshine himself? If he put on a cheerleader outfit like Marcia,
that'd be hilarious too. It'd be really funny to watch one of them dress up like that.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, Chris, this past Friday, we had Northwest wrestler Squash ranked on our Turnbuckle Turmoil Northwest weekly rankings at number one for the first time. And as you know, in talking to other blue-collar wrestlers, those that have been ranked number one have received a fruit pie. How much would it mean to you if you were ranked number one sometime in 2020, and thus you received the coveted fruit pie, Turnbuckle fruit pie?
It would mean a lot to be number one. It'd show that everything I put into this, all the hard work, all the traveling, definitely isn't worth it. I don't know about Ethan fruit pie. I don't know about that. But.
Would you promptly give this fruit pie to one of your daughters or sons?
I'd give it to my kids for sure.
Oh, okay. Well, Chris, I would like to extend Sign Guys word association with a couple more wrestlers. Are you ready to play round two of word association?
Let's go.
Oh, okay. All right. First
remember,
one,
I'm not good with
Guy
names,
Full.
You're going to put me on the spot here.
Yes. Daya Fula Dabashi.
Crazy.
Okay. All right. Our new host of the show, JB Moonshine.
Country.
Okay. Our second new host of the show, Randy Zellers.
Friend.
All right. JD Mason.
Chops hard.
Ooh. Okay. All right. Travis Mayhem.
Good people.
Okay. And the last one, and I hope you don't say Marcia in a cheerleading outfit, Pa Freakshine.
You guys keep catching me out of the arm. All I can think of him is in a Marcia outfit.
Oh, no, I've started something strange. Oh, no, this is terrible. Okay. Okay. Well, Chris, I hope you do well in your homework assignment of looking up Tony Mandrich and Trading Places. And at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy.
Yes, sir.
Well, guys, our other co-host is with us, so I'm actually going to pass things to Randy Zellers. Randy, go for it.
All right. Hey, what's up, Chris? Hey, what's up, fam? How you doing, man? Man, shoot. Working on my sister's house and shit like that, and lost track of time. I was like, oh, shit, late to the show. Ain't this a bitch? But I have to say, I have a couple questions for you, if you don't mind me asking them.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
All righty, man. I mean, hey, you've been around multiple locker rooms and all that other stuff. My first question to you is, and this is a yes or no question, have you been around, you know, I mean, shared the locker room or the ring with anyone that not up to par with their hygiene?
No.
You don't got to put anybody on blast or anything else, or anything like that.
No, nobody.
Oh, nobody?
Ah.
Yeah, I haven't been around nobody that was dirty either. We're only told to wash our gear.
Yep. Good shit. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. And the second, what was the greatest accomplishment? From your past all the way to now, what was your greatest accomplishment in the business?
In the business?
Yep.
Debuting?
Yeah, debuting for different promotions?
Just debuting, period.
Yeah, debuting, period. Now, that's what's up. Because, you know what, in wrestling, no one really, I mean, everyone would say, like, oh, I can do that. But, you know, it can just take one bump, and they can be like, oh, no, I'm out of here. But
yeah.
I have to say, I'm glad that you stuck with it. Yeah. And let's see here. What is your favorite thing to do in the wrestling business? It can be like from cutting a promo, whooping some ass, or doing a technique that you just learned.
Best thing for me is being out there in front of a crowd, man. It's a whole different adrenaline rush. So just being able to perform in front of them is awesome.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And the last one. What was the biggest crowd that you ever performed in front of?
Biggest crowd. Fine, think of that one.
Yep.
Performing in front of. Definitely Salina, Kansas, with XWE.
Nice.
I think there was like 600 people there. So, that was a pretty big turnout.
Ooh wee. Yeah, that's, oh wow, now that's, and I mean, hearing from me and stuff like that, we all know that you're going to training in a private enclosed facility and all that good stuff and it's actually been beneficial for you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. When this whole Steve Corino virus, you know, decides to cool down or be like Tigger and Bounce, would you be open to be working any other wrestling promotions?
Yes, I'm always interested in what the different promotions are. There's a lot of promotions out there, and I want to travel the world and do this stuff. I'm ready to wrestle for any promotion that's available.
Hey, that's what's up, man. That's what's up. Any dream matches?
Just period. Teddy Hart.
Oh, hey, Teddy Hart. Now that would be one hot ticket. Yeah. If you end up wrestling him, yeah, I'll be in front row. I'll be in front row cheering.
Teddy Hart, and then the other one is Jack Evans.
Ooh, yeah. Damn, I can see the chemistry.
Well, we're both from Parkland. He obviously is older than me, but he lived down the street from my grandma. Went to the same high school, so that'd be definitely an interesting one. And then there's another one that's currently in Washington that I really want to work, and that's Zebediah Saint Jr.
Ooh.
So he's definitely one I want to work. We went to the same school growing up. And we both pursued wrestling. We didn't know that we liked wrestling in high school. I guess we didn't talk about it with each other. But knowing that he does it now, it'd definitely be something special.
Wow. Now that there is Now that there would be one good thing, and that would be one beautiful thing. Just like going to high school with someone, y'all didn't know that y'all shared the same interest.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just like coming out of the wrestling. That's just like coming out saying, yeah, I like wrestling. What? You like wrestling too? We could have been hanging out years ago.
That's what we did, man. I messaged him when I found out he was working, because I saw him on one of the 3-2-1 posters. And I messaged him, and I was like, you wrestling? He said, yeah. And I was like, that's insane. Both of us growing up with each other and not knowing that we shared the same passion. And then to both be able to wrestle and follow our dreams. And even though we're in separate promotions right now, it definitely is a match that I would love to have.
Yep. But what I got to say in the business, never say never, because a lot of people who I like to wrestle, I know, I mean, back then it was out of reach, but now these days, all it takes is just a text or a message or a Facebook phone call, and voila.
It's definitely gotten easier in technology.
Yes. Yes, it has. Oh, man. And imagine you can get all these people on Twitter, too. Man. Yep. Oh, my goodness. Well, let's see here. I don't have any more questions for you, Chris. All I got to say is... keep doing what you do, man. Keep grinding. I see a celebrity wrestler in you.
I appreciate that, man. That means a lot.
Yeah. Heck yeah. And I'll go ahead and turn this on over to Mr. Sign Guy here.
Thank you, Randy.
No problem.
Well, Chris, being as someone that has been in the Northwest for just a few months, and has already hit the main event scene and has already captured a championship, do you see any other areas of the country that might be an interest of yours to go to wrestle? I know you have plans to do the seminars and things like that, but is there a place where you'd like to wrestle for some of the local promotions in a different area?
California has a couple of promotions I'd like to work. Again, I wrestled for Best of the West one time, but I'd love to make it happen again. New York would be fun. I have my eye on Iowa. Anything in Florida would be fun to do. So, like I said, I'm an open book. I'm open to wrestling anywhere, and I want to have all the experience. So.
Now, as someone that has had a couple of years under their belt, I'm sure you've seen a variety of referees, and on the independent scene, like anywhere, there's going to be quality variances, some really good, some of them a little less than that. I'm sure you've seen the spectrum of it. Who do you say are some of the better officials out there that you've worked with so far?
You're one of them. Cody from Vegas. His name is Cody DeZona. He's a great ref at FSW. Yareli, she refs a couple of matches. She's now working for NXT. She was always a great ref. Those are just some of the few.
Now, in a similar vein, one of the more underrated parts of wrestling is the ring announcer. They're usually the face of the company. They're the ones that are putting the information fans need to follow the company and to support the company out there. They're the ones that make sure people know what's going on within the show, who people are, that type of thing. They can make or break a show, which doesn't always get the appreciation from people, not only outside of the industry, but a lot of times in the industry. Who would you say are some of the better ring announcers out there?
I'm talking independent or everywhere?
You could go everywhere if you'd like.
William Garcia was really good. Always good at doing it. You know, I can't think of any on hand. I've always had a lot of good announcers. I've never really came across a bad one yet.
Now, in your time in wrestling so far, hopefully you haven't had too many injuries yet, but that is something that is inevitable for anyone that's in the ring for any length of time. There's going to be the occasional injury, be it a minor one or a severe one. Have you had any injuries to this point?
Yes, I have. I tore a muscle in my chest.
Ooh, the old pectoral tear. That must have been a bugger to heal up.
It was right above it, so it was like right in the collarbone, like right underneath the collarbone area. And I ended up pulling that on the end of the gurney.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ow.
Ouch.
What was the rehab like to heal something like that? Was there a lot you could do to heal that up, or was it something you had to kind of wait for it to be better?
I had to wait for it to be better. I went to the doctor. I didn't need surgery. I had the CAT scan and all that. They just told me it'd be a month or two before it was totally healed. So it would have had to heal over time.
Well, I'm glad that did heal.
Yeah, thanks for
a lot of wrestlers have in the back of their mind one specific injury that is the one they fear the most, be it something with the neck or blowing out a knee or a broken orbital socket. There's something that they fear more than the other injuries. Do you have that one major injury fear in the back of your mind that you're hoping you never see?
Getting hit in the nose with a football.
Teeth injury, man. Those are way too intense for me. Getting my teeth knocked out is definitely something I want to avoid.
I hope you avoid that as well, because that's not fun when you're spitting teeth across the mat.
Yes.
Well, we are down to the last minute of the show, so I want to give you ample time. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, anything you want to plug and promote, like the social medias, merchandise, your favorite gear maker, anything at all, floor is all yours.
So, if you guys are looking for T-shirts, follow me, ProWrestlingTees.com/WrestlingGreatestAttraction, Chris Brady. I have a couple of T-shirts on there for sale. You guys can find me on Twitter at WGA Chris Brady and Instagram at Chris Brady 35. Tag me, man. Follow me. Tweet me. Post me in different promotions that you guys want to see me work for. Let me make that happen for you guys. I got a new promotion that I'm going to be working coming up soon in North Carolina called Elite Combat Championship Wrestling. I'm excited for that one. So, yeah, man, you guys just stay tuned.
Well, Chris, it has been a pleasure having you on the show today. When this all clears up, I'm sure we'll be sharing a locker room together again. And best of luck as you continue on with your career.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you guys for having me on.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not, definitely take the time. Look up Chris Brady. Hit the YouTubes. Watch some of his matches up there. Great young talent. You're going to be hearing a lot more from him in the years to come, I'm positive. So study up, get on the bandwagon. We'll be back with you next week. Next Friday afternoon, we'll have Miles Morales out of the Midwest. And a week from today, we're going to have former AWA Tag Team Champion Paul Hard Rock Diamond with us. So make sure you have plans to be with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Once a man is glad, you're like your grandmother. Down, and there's no end in view. A shot of fireball was reaching through the screw.